The 30th State Assembly District is in a part of the state that has become known as a Republican stronghold over the last two decades. It consists of the southwest quarter of St. Croix County and a portion of northwestern Pierce County. It includes the communities of Hudson, Holton, River Falls, Roberts, Troy, and Warren, to name a few. Until this January, Republicans have easily won and held seats in this region, but when State Senator Sheila Harsdorf of River Falls left the legislature to lead the state's Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection last year, Republicans ended up losing the Senate seat to a little-known Democrat this January. Governor Scott Walker called the loss a wake-up call for Republicans. Others said it was proof that a blue wave was coming. So, this November, when voters head back to the polls, many will be watching the 30th Assembly District and many others in far western Wisconsin. Today, we meet the Democrat who hopes to ride the blue wave and the Republican who seeks to keep the district in the party's hands. I'm Rich Kramer, and this is The West Side. Thanks for tuning us in today on Ideas 88.3 WHWC and 88.7 WRFW. Today in the studio joining us from the 30th Assembly District, we welcome the candidates competing in the general election November 6th. Shannon Zimmerman is a Republican incumbent, business owner living in River Falls. Barry Hammerbeck is a founding partner of Hammerbeck Law Offices in River Falls. A little bit more information, Shannon Zimmerman grew up in Augusta, Wisconsin. He owns Sajan Incorporated, a language translation business, and Belvines Vineyard. Both businesses are in River Falls. Zimmerman ran for the District 10 Senate seat last year, but was defeated in the primary. He has represented the 30th Assembly District since 2016. So, Shannon Zimmerman, well, thank you for the corrections, and welcome to the West Side.
Rich, it's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for hosting this event.
Thank you. And next, Barry Hammerbeck. He has lived in Wisconsin since 1978. He's a graduate of the University of Minnesota Law School. He is a civil litigator and founding partner of Hammerbeck Law Offices in River Falls. Barry Hammerbeck, welcome.
Welcome, and thank you for inviting us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for participating in this discussion. This is all about helping inform the voters, you know. And this is also, for voters and listeners, a chance for you to call in with direct questions for the candidates. That's important whether you live in the district or not, because while these men are competing to represent the 30th District, they also represent the state as a whole. So if you've got questions for either Shannon Zimmerman, the Republican incumbent, or Barry Hammerbeck, the Democratic challenger, let us know. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call if you have questions or comments. We have three wide open phone lines right now, just for your information. So the first question, I'll start with Shannon Zimmerman, and I'll go to Barry Hammerbeck afterwards. Why are you running? What makes you qualified to keep your seat in this case, Shannon Zimmerman?
Well, you know, if you would have asked me in 2015, would I consider running for public office, I probably with a resounding, tone would have said no. Why would one possibly subject themselves to the level of scrutiny and the challenges? But, you know, I've also long felt that it is our obligation and expectation to also serve our communities in a variety of capacities. And having started a business from our living room, my wife and I, it has provided me with such a great perspective on economic development, employment, educational systems. We're highly active with the educational centers. And, you know, as we watch the state evolve here, I think that the challenges that the state is facing align very well to the experiences that I've gathered over the past 22 years. I've been saying of late, I think that Wisconsin's greatest opportunity and our greatest threat is the challenges we face with lack of workforce. And that is something that I've worked locally and I want to continue to expand on at the state level in the future as well.
Thank you for that, Shannon Zimmerman. Barry Hammerbeck, why are you running for this seat, and what qualifies you for the position?
I'm running for this seat because I got very angry about the Foxconn deal that was done. I thought it literally picked the pockets of the people in the 30th Assembly District. And in addition to my work in the law office, I've also been a business owner and operated another business called Dentapier. We manufactured products for the dentist business. We actually took the space shuttle's water system and modified it so we could use it in dental offices.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, recently sold that about 3 years ago. So I have a unique perspective from the business point of view, too. And I just thought it was such a spectacular misuse of state funds when we had such other needs pressing, particularly in the 30th Assembly District. I mean, health care is very important. We really needed to address the issue of the availability of mental health care. We're concerned about the suicide rates there. We're concerned about the funding for the University of Wisconsin in River Falls, which is in Assembly District 30. And I just looked at all of the other uses that could have been done with that $4.5 billion. What if we'd have put $4.5 billion into the university system? Wouldn't we have got much more bang for our buck? Wouldn't that have been a lot easier? We could fund... Mr. Zimmerman should know that he got a $50,000 tax credit, I think, back when he started his business to go. Well, for $4.5 billion, we could have done 90,000 startup businesses. 90,000. He got 30 jobs. He promised 30 jobs. He got 130. We'd have 2 million jobs over the period of time if we'd have just gone back to the basic startup instead of putting all our eggs in one basket. And so that's what I'm running for.
Just to follow up, Barry Hammerbeck, the promise, you know, tied to that large amount of money, three and a half to four and a half, depending on who you talk to, $1 billion for Foxconn, is that there will be 13,000 or so jobs created. That's the promise. So I hear where you're coming from as far as putting more of that money towards smaller businesses, startups, et cetera, looking for tax credits, but isn't that a pretty large impact if you can have 30 or 13,000 jobs with an average? I think that they say the average salary would be something like $50,000-some.
I don't think it's a very good deal. And the bottom line is that's about $200,000-some per job. Hmm. And I just told you that the previous time they ran us, it was $50,000 for 30 jobs, and we ended up with 130.
Sure.
So what's in it for the 30th Assembly District, River Falls, Hudson, North Hudson, Roberts, and our townships there? And I just don't see that it's a good deal any way you crack it. We could have done a lot better for a lot less money. The other big problem for this is, you know, the payback, they're saying we might have an increase of taxes of somewhere between 116 and 150 million. Well, gosh, you're talking about a 40-year payback at that at $4.5 billion. Where are we going to fund these other things that we desperately need to do? It's just very short-sighted. If we'd have put that money into the university system, we'd have many more jobs, I would venture. We wouldn't have to worry about some place that we have to have a toxic cleanup in 6 years when they wander off and leave us. And we could leave a legacy with the University of Wisconsin that would last 100 years. We aren't talking about 6 years. We're talking about the future of Wisconsin, what could have been a real game changer. And the Republicans blew it.
I want to Shannon Zimmerman to follow up on that. I think you voted for the Foxconn package.
Yes.
Why did you support that, and why is it a good deal, in your opinion, for the 30th Assembly District residents?
Well, you know, first of all, I think that when you get into complex business deals like this, it's not surprising that there can be polarizing views. And a couple different things. As Mr. Hammerbeck indicated, on a much smaller scale, and I acknowledge that, I was, I think, the only legislator who participated in this process, serving on the Jobs and Economy Committee, sitting through all of the hours of testimony from all those who testified for or against Foxconn, reviewing the contract and so forth to develop maybe a deeper and more accurate appreciation for what this is. You know, Foxconn itself is in theory and philosophy here, it embodies the rising tide lifts all boats. We have an opportunity here where you can look at it two ways, and I said this on the floor. You can look at it as a $3 or $4.5 million expense, or you can look at it as a ten plus billion dollar gain. It's really one of philosophy. It's a glass half full or half empty. jobs in this state are an important thing, and the long-term future goes like this. Foxconn is undoubtedly going to require more people to come to Wisconsin. When you look at generating funding for the state and so forth, the more human beings that occupy residency and jobs in the state of Wisconsin, this will create a greater tax base to be applied to other areas. So on a small scale in River Falls, Wisconsin, we worked with the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, my wife and I, and yes, for $50,000 in tax credit and a promise of 30 jobs, we created 130. So I'm familiar that the model works, and it's something that I think will be wonderful for the state as a whole.
1-800-228-5615 is the number to call if you've got questions or comments for our candidates. We're talking with the two men running for the 30th State Assembly District seat. Shannon Zimmerman is the Republican incumbent. He's held the seat since 2016. His Democratic challenger is Barry Hammerbeck. 1-800-228-5615. And let's go to the phones right now, and we go to James in River Falls. James, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. Yeah, thanks for having me. So I'm a student at UW-River Falls. I've been deeply involved in the university as a student leader since my freshman year. I'm now a senior. I've paid very close attention to the impact of government on education over the past few years. And I know that Mr. Zimmerman, Representative Zimmerman, this is a question for you. You have been very supportive of UW-River Falls. And you often talk publicly about the importance of education in Wisconsin. So my question is, what more can be done to improve the education system in Wisconsin for all involved, so the schools, the teachers, the students, and the employers?
Thank you for that, James. Shannon Zimmerman.
Okay, so first of all, I think that you have to have a balanced approach when you look at the complexities of our district and the state. It shouldn't be one or the other. For example, we shouldn't, you know, have to invest just in business and or separately education. You're right. I have been very active supporting not only our technical colleges but the university. I serve on the foundation board. My sons went to school there, been active in that university, and will continue to do so because I believe that workforce challenge I mentioned a short bit ago is directly influenced by our investments, and I use that word critically, investments in education, K-12, technical colleges, and universities. So what do I think can be done? I had the privilege of serving on both committees, the Higher Education Committee and the K-12 Committee, while in Madison, and I think it's worth noting. Your committee selections are requested. So I wanted those committees because I understand the value of education as it relates to business. And I think that we can continue to reform government in a way which allows more of the dollars, the taxpayers' dollars, to get to the classroom. This is where it matters. I mean, there are administrative and overhead expenses within the UW system that never find their way to a classroom, and no one's going to graduate with a degree in system. So I think it's imperative that we continue to liberate our great universities in such a way where our chancellors can be CEOs of their campus, running it in a more optimized manner. And we've got some exceptional ones in this Western District from Eau Claire, Stout, and River Falls. So I would continue my efforts to reform it so that we can get more dollars to the classroom and integrate more of the educational activities with private sector business. We capture a number of River Falls graduates every year before they leave the state. I want to only build upon that. I want our other great local businesses to forge stronger relationship with our school systems and the students that go there that can take our jobs and fill these jobs later on.
You talk about getting more of the money to the classroom, and you know, there were some reports about the large slush fund, some people called it, that the reserves that UW system had. Well, since then, the Republican-led legislature has cut quite a bit of funding for the university system. Some of that came back in the last state budget. But, you know, how, if you're supporting the university system in UW-River Falls, which you do, you work very closely with them, while also voting for budgets in the past, perhaps, that cut funding. Is that kind of a contradiction?
Well, here again, it goes back to the appropriations of some of this funding. You know, when you get inside the allocation, the budget process, some of these funds can only be used for certain things.
Right. And the silos.
That's right. And it actually, once again, this is why I use the word liberates. I really believe we have to be able to restructure this in a way that liberates our universities so that a chancellor or administration in some form or fashion can make the local decision on utilization of funds and so forth, and it will have a profound effect. You know, right now, I think that there has been opportunity for reduction in expense. And let's not forget one thing. I grew up in a little nothing town in Wisconsin, graduating high school class of 49 kids. It was a rural area, and I look back with the greatest fondness. But there's a lot of my friends who sadly were, from a financial standpoint, unable to pay their way to go to school. And so we also have an obligation to balance tuition costs so that every one of these kids has an opportunity to get in, get the education, and then fill the jobs that we have vacant right now in the state of Wisconsin.
Barry Hammerbeck, I'd like to get a response from you to James as far as what lawmakers, legislators can do to support or keep supporting the UW system in higher education.
I guess I'm tired of legislators that just give lip service to good education. Good education takes money. That's all there is to it. And without funding, you just can't have it. I mean, there are all sorts of competing interests for the brain power that we had at the University of Wisconsin. And let's face it, they've left the state in droves because of these budgetary cuts at the university. We aren't paying our people enough that are in there, that are professors, that are guiding our children and leading them on. And it's costing too much for our children to get an education today. When I went to college a long time ago, I actually went to the University of Oregon as an undergraduate out in Eugene, Oregon. My first term tuition was $96. And in fact, I could go out and get a summer job and pay for it. So when I got done with college and even law school in 1978, I had very little college debt because I'd worked during the summer and I could do it. And that's because there was a lot more state funding for colleges and universities. Our legacy has to be education, and we have to put our money where our mouth is. We have to take this. If we'd have taken that $4.5 billion Foxconn debacle and put it into education, we'd be miles ahead, not only today, but 100 years from now where we want to be. And we could reduce the tuition. Right now, the state of Wisconsin taxes fund about $500 million, I think, of the $2.5 billion budget. There's some fast and loose kind of accounting. You know, when they pay tuition, actually the tuition goes to the state, and then the state pays it back to the university system. So really, the state's contribution is about $1 in $5, ranging to $1 in $7. I've seen some estimates. We need to boost that up because it's not only good for our education, but it's good for the technology and the drive and everything else we have. It makes it much more likely that we'll attract high-tech companies if we have communities of highly educated people that do this. And I'm talking about university-level people, not necessarily just the technical training. I distinguish between that. What I would like to see is a great equalizer being education, to give our children the opportunities that I had. I'm a product of public education. I went to public schools. I went to public universities. And I wouldn't be where I am today without that education. It's the opportunity that our children have to break out of this, you know, and to get out of some of these economic hurdles they have. I think we owe that to ourselves and our societies, particularly here in Wisconsin, to not only talk about the nice things that we need at the university, but to provide the funds to get it done.
So education costs money, and you're saying that you'd like to see more funding go to the university system, which a lot of folks on the Democratic side of the aisle have been calling for that for years. Do you agree with Shannon Zimmerman, though, that there are efficiencies that can be found, perhaps in administrative costs? You know, there's been a lot of tweaking going on with universities, individual universities and their budgets and paring down and trying to regionalize things. I mean, there's been a lot of attempts to save money because these institutions are dealing with less money than they used to get. So do you think there's any fat to be trimmed?
No. I think it's been trimmed far too far already. And while more money was provided, I think, before the last election for the universities and K-12 through 12, you know, that the damage had already been done by years of neglect. I mean, it's going to take us a long time to get out of the hole that Mr. Zimmerman has helped put us in by voting for some of those budgets earlier on. And we just need to stop that and say, look, this is going to be a cost. This is the way of life that we have here in Wisconsin, and I think it's worth it. I'd like to have the smartest state we can. The latest numbers we have on reading are, we're, I think, number 36 behind Mississippi. That's got to stop.
I want to go back to Shannon Zimmerman, and you know, we have to move on to other topics. But first, I wanted to talk about tuition and the freeze. Governor Walker has basically said that if he's reelected, he'll freeze tuition again for another 2 years. I think that would be 6 years straight, perhaps, or maybe even more. University officials are saying, listen, we're getting to the point where our quality is going to suffer. Do you think they're saying that to try to keep their hand in the trough or something? Or do you think that there's real threat that if tuition doesn't go up to keep pace with, say, you know, inflationary costs and whatnot, that this aim of efficiency could actually be harming the university?
Okay, so I absolutely believe that. I think we need to get more money to the classrooms, to the teachers, to our educators who are on the front line of taking care of our students and helping prepare them for this workforce opportunity that we have. You know, I to comment on Mr. Hammerbeck's point there, I think Foxconn is actually a wonderful judgment of our education system. He talked about the, you know, education investments in education will bring high tech. You know, this is a pretty high tech organization that's being deployed in Wisconsin. I still go back to, it is my personal opinion there is opportunities in two areas. One, there is opportunities for efficiency still within the UW and higher education system, and they should be realized and fully taken advantage of to drive more of that money to the classroom, which will fulfill the need and the expectation we have. Number two, I also believe that the paradigm that has existed for decades is opportune for changes in the sense that we should be exploring new and innovative ways that private sector business can be cooperating, even to the tune of financial contributions to these institutions to help secure and develop the workforce that we will need for the future. You know, today, I'll give you a great example. Our company in River Falls needed some computer programmers. I obviously have a relationship with the chancellor at River Falls. So I reached out. We did some investigation. And we were willing to pay for these services. But it's not that simple. You can't just write a check and have the check be insured to get to the teachers or to the faculty where it's so desperately needed. Instead, you could make a donation to the foundation. We need to change that so that the businesses that surround these great universities in our communities also have the ability to help the schools and, in doing so, help themselves. So I think that there's two ways that we can make improvements to this process.
Barry Hammerbeck, as far as tuition being frozen for another 2 years, do you think would you ever support that? And do you think that it could be the sounding of the alarm by some university officials saying that this could cut into quality? Do you think that's coming true?
Yes, it's a huge problem. I think that the cuts have gone too far, have stayed too long, and the damage continues to mount every single day. And we just have to put funding back in there. Frankly, I'm a proponent of providing a free education right through college for everybody. I think we need to get on that. It needs to be an investment we need to make in society. I appreciate, and I think we should have these companies that benefit from the educational processes pay their fair share, particularly in technical schools where they go there. I mean, they're the beneficiaries of this training. I think they should contribute more. I think that companies do appreciate that. I know our company did when we're hiring people. We ended up going to the state of Minnesota when we put our plant in because they gave us more incentives and had a better qualified group of workers for us to work on. So we actually went to Minnesota. So I know all about the startups. And the bottom line is we've been number 50 in terms of startups for the last 3 years. And that's got to change too. And this Foxconn deal doesn't help that. So improving our education, getting this, making the funding available for the universities, to get back to the question, I think it's imperative that the tuition be held down, but that the funding be there for the universities. And by freezing tuition, we're actually just cutting the budget some more for the universities, which will only make it worse.
How would the state be able to afford, where would the money come from to make it possible for a tuition-less college experience in Wisconsin?
Rather than giving away our taxes to foreign companies that come in here, we should utilize those taxes, attract them in here, and apply them to education. I think it's just a question of judgment, and Mr. Zimmerman has pointed that out. It's his judgment. It's his judgment that this was a better deal for Wisconsin, and I truly believe he believes that. I just disagree with him completely. I think it's wrong.
Shannon Zimmerman, do you think it would be possible to have a tuition-free college in Wisconsin?
I don't. I mean, I think that the burden would be so great on our taxpayers no. I want to go back here. It's not a one or the other. If you have wonderful education but no companies and no jobs for them to go to, that doesn't do you any good either. There's a balance here. And again, this happens in the private sector all the time. You make investments. You anticipate certain returns. You will balance and distribute those investments within your company. That same philosophy needs to apply here. I think that there is opportunity for efficiency. I think we can drive more monies towards the faculty, the teachers who are helping empower these great kids. But I think that it's not one or the other. I think that we can support a Foxconn and still help make sure that our kids have the opportunity to get the great education that they deserve.
With that, let's take our first break. You're listening to the 30th Assembly General Election Candidate Debate on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Rich Kramer. In the studio with me this hour are the current representative, Republican Shannon Zimmerman of River Falls, and Democratic challenger Barry Hammerbeck, also of River Falls. They face off in the November 6th general election. When we return, we'll hear more from the candidates and take some more of your calls. That reminds me, Tom and Hudson, hang tight. You'll be the first on the air once we return. This is the West Side on Ideas 88.3 and 88.7 WRFW in River Falls.
Support for WPR comes from Port Washington Tourism, nestled on the shores of Lake Michigan, with gourmet dining, boutique shopping, and more. The historical 1860 Lighthouse is open for tours this summer. Visit portwashington.com.
Announcing WPR's Big Top Trip August 12th through 13th. The trip features a new Big Top Chautauqua show, All Aboard Songs of the Railroad, and the Lake Superior Train Museum in Duluth. Learn more at WPR.org/travel.
The 30th Assembly District is one of 99 Assembly seats up for election this year in Wisconsin. Today we are talking with the candidates competing in the November 6th general election. I'm Rich Kramer. Joining me in the studio for the West Side the rest of this hour, Republican incumbent Shannon Zimmerman of River Falls and Democratic challenger Barry Hammerbeck, also of River Falls. What question or comment would you like to bring to the conversation? Let us know. 800-228-5615 is the number to call in. We've got phone lines wide open. Let's go to the phones now. And Tom and Hudson, you're on the air. What's on your mind, Tom?
Thank you very much. Thank you to both Mr. Zimmerman and Mr. Hammerbeck for giving us the opportunity to talk to them in this forum today. Shannon, this question is kind of directed more at you. You've represented us in the Madison area now for 2 years down in Madison, so it gives you kind of a unique perspective for across the state. And you've mentioned already in some of your comments about the number of employees you have in River Falls. So it kind of gives us a good basis for an assessment of the local economy, recognizing that there's so many help wanted signs these days out there, and myself as an employer have a hard time finding people. What are you doing to help solve what appears to be a workforce shortage?
Thank you so much for that, Tom, and we'll put it to Shannon Zimmerman first, but of course we'll also get Barry Hammerbeck's take on that. 1-800-228-5615 is the number to call if you've got questions for the candidates. Shannon Zimmerman.
Well, great question. We've kind of touched on this a couple times loosely here, but I'll get more specific. You know, right now we are experiencing over the past number of months what has been all-time record low unemployment for the state of Wisconsin. Lives are good. Families have access to jobs, and that is wonderful when obviously those opportunities exist. So I think that one could argue that and label it perhaps that we have a high class problem in the sense that, you know, we have such low unemployment, but it still is a challenge. In the economy, the macro economy continues to thrive, as we learned recently about the 4.1% growth rate. That also is very relevant here. So how do we do this? You know, I always gravitate back to, I think, what are business principles, and we're talking about people. So the question becomes, how do we get more people here? And, you know, I'm a believer that there's a multifaceted strategy. I have been talking about this for a while now. I was moved over to Ways and Means as one of a very small subcommittee to start to look at tax reform in the state of Wisconsin. First and foremost, we have to evaluate and reconstruct our tax code in such a way that, first, positively addresses the retirees, the elderly, and those on fixed incomes in the state of Wisconsin. And what happens there as an effect is, they're not leaving. Now, sometimes they may not like our winters, and I can't help that per se, but they're not leaving if their pocketbooks are positively impacted. Number two, if we attack the tax code in a positive way, we also create incentive and encouragement for graduates to want to stay here as well, to take these jobs. So I would advocate as one lever here that we take a good close look at the income tax as an opportunity to actually create incentive to keep these people here. Finally, when you look at other states that have done this, and I've looked at eight states and modeled them carefully, there's also an indirect effect. When labor pools start to rise because more of the taxpayers' money are left with them, not going to government, what ends up happening is more of the employers want to come there because they know they're going to have a high quality and substantial amount of labor force there. So it is a serious both opportunity and threat, as I used those words earlier, and I think that there's a number of levers that we can pull that will positively help this, and tax reform is absolutely one of them in my mind.
When you mention the income tax, are you talking about the plan that has come up among some Republican lawmakers in the Assembly and Senate to do away with the income tax?
Well, I've looked at this and I've compared ourselves to a variety of other states, both our current budget levels, meaning our spending, how much are we spending and how much are we taking and collecting in from taxes.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, to absolutely do away with our income tax, if for example, the theory is we shift that to a consumption tax, which generally I'm a fan of consumption taxes because they're equitable, right? If you spend a lot or you have a lot of money to spend, then you're going to be paying a lot more in taxes. It's a very fair type of approach. But if we were to shift it to sales tax, that would push our sales tax probably up to the 12% range roughly. So pretty extreme. Once again, I come back to balance. I think that we can reduce our income tax with favorable results, offset it to a modest degree with sales tax, and what you end up with is a behavioral condition where people are going to keep more of their money and therefore either stay here or want to come here.
Thank you for that. So, Barry Hammerbeck, your response to the caller's question, what can be done to address the workforce shortages that we're seeing, especially in the 30th District where things are really booming?
Well, don't do Foxconn, which adds 13,000 supposed jobs. I mean, why do we need Foxconn is the other question that comes up on this labor thing. It's right. I mean, this is the lowest our need for labor has ever been. And the practical effect of Foxconn is it's going to raise the cost of labor. So when Tom asked that question, you know, from Hudson and being on the business side of thing, that means that I'm going to have to go out there and I'm going to have to pay more. So it's going to actually cost businesses more. I think it's good for the working side of people. I do agree with Mr. Zimmerman on this balance. We need to do the balance, and it depends on what the balance point is. So taking this money out and reducing taxes is not the way to attract people here. Having a better state where the parks are pristine and where it's a wonderful place to live, where the schools are the best we can have, and where our water and our air is pure and people want to come and live here is the best way to do that. We don't want to be the bargain basement state where everybody comes and jumps in. Everybody will just come and do their work here and go away. We want them to come here and stay and be in the tax base. There is one business side of the tax equation that I would like to see. And as a business person with a small corporation, if you're going to have a dividend to your shareholders, one of the things that you have to do is you have to have income on that. And you pay income tax on that dividend. I would like to make dividends that are paid out deductible. to the corporations, at least in the state of Wisconsin. And I'd actually like to see that as a national policy at some point. That would it would put the money that the corporations make in profits, it would allow them to deduct that, so it wasn't a penalty to them, and it would be passed on to the shareholders. The shareholders would then be able to pay some additional funds. But it would be really a benefit for corporations to get money into the hands of their shareholders.
With that, let's go back to the phones. We've got Cynthia in Menominee calling. Cynthia, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi, I am a retired university employee. And I hear the same old, same old. Get money into the classrooms. Get money into the classrooms. A university is more than just classrooms. We have to have quality professors, but we also have to have quality support staff, quality financial aid advisors, quality admission coaches, quality academic advisors. We need quality academic skills and counseling. We need buildings and grounds that are going to attract students. There's a lot of competition, and they're going to go where the support system is there, opportunities for multicultural education. The grounds need to be maintained. The buildings need to be maintained. A successful university is much more than the classroom.
Cynthia, thank you so much for the call. And if anyone else has a question or comment for either of our candidates, let us know. 1-800-228-5615. I'm going to put that to Shannon Zimmerman because I think she was addressing your comments about getting more into the classroom. So there's a lot more to a university than the classroom.
Well, first of all, Cynthia, thank you for your contributions as an educator. It is so important. My reference to getting money to the classrooms is more a reference to getting money to the local universities. When I reference system or administration, you know, sometimes we have to take stock and reflect on some of the expenses that may be occurring in Madison. And I would rather see more of our tax dollars directed to the University of Wisconsin, River Falls, Stout, or Eau Claire for all of the things that you've talked about to enhance that experience rather than necessarily funding things that don't have direct value. And I'm not saying they all don't. Of course, many of them do. But this is most often the area of opportunity that we've found, and it's not uncommon. I mean, these things happen, right? I mean, you know, and sadly, things start to bloat over time in administration, and this is an opportunity for us to trim that, and in doing so, also provide greater funding to our local universities.
Barry Hammerbeck, any thoughts on Cynthia's call?
Yes, I absolutely, totally agree with her. You can't. My daughter is an adjunct professor at the University of Wisconsin in River Falls in math and physics. And she needs more support staff. The physics department is actually a renowned physics department in the world for the things that they do, and they don't have nearly enough support staff. They don't have nearly enough facilities. They could attract more students there, and they just don't have the basic infrastructure that it takes, like the rest of the like roads and highways. Education has its own infrastructure, and we absolutely need to fund that. That's part that's been gutted out completely as far as I'm concerned.
I like that you brought up roads and highways. That's what we're going to touch on when we come back from our second break. The 30th Assembly, on November 6th, voters will choose their representatives in the 30th Assembly District. Their choices are Democrat Barry Hammerbeck of River Falls and Republican incumbent Shannon Zimmerman of River Falls as well. We're talking with them until the top of the hour. If you've got a question or a comment, let us know. 1-800-228-5615. This is the West Side on Ideas 88.3 WHWC Menominee and Eau Claire and 88.7 WRFW in River Falls.
Celebrate summer and support WPR at Crayfish Summerfest, a one-of-a-kind dining experience at Al Johnson's Restaurant in Door County. Hi, I'm Maureen McCollum. Join Lori Skelton and me on August 16th for traditional Swedish food and drink, including crayfish, summer vegetables, and strawberry cardamom shortbread, along with live music and good friends. That's Crayfish Summerfest at Al Johnson's in Sister Bay. Get tickets and details at WPR.org/presents.
Support for WPR comes from the Wisconsin Alumni Association and the new Alumni Park, featuring exhibits that honor the Wisconsin idea, lakefront green space, and a variety of events and activities. More at alumnipark.com.
The registration deadline is next Friday for WPR's Big Top Trip, August 12th through 13th. The trip includes a visit to Canal Park, the new Big Top show, All Aboard Songs of the Railroad, lodging, and two meals. More at WPR.org/travel.
For more than 20 years, Wisconsin Public Radio has provided voters access to their legislative candidates in western Wisconsin through live candidate debates. These discussions are meant to engage listeners and present a platform for candidates to share their positions on issues important to Wisconsin voters. Today on the West Side, we continue that commitment as we round out the hour talking to two candidates from the 30th Assembly District competing in the November 6th general election. In the studio with me are Shannon Zimmerman, Republican incumbent from River Falls, and Democrat Barry Hammerbeck, also of River Falls. Listeners, if you have a question or a comment, do let us know. 1-800-228-5615. It's your chance to speak directly to the candidates this hour. So speaking of transportation, I'll start with you, Barry Hammerbeck. Right now, I juggle doing news duties and the show here. So I've been working on a feature story about infrastructure and in the counties. Right now, the counties, Eau Claire County just passed a wheel tax. I know St. Croix County had a wheel tax not too long ago. A lot of the local government officials are saying that they just don't have enough money coming from the state or enough money in general because of limits on levy taxes, local levies. They say they're getting further and further behind with their annual county, road budget. And the town governments, it's the same. The cities, you hear much the same thing. So there have been ideas in the past floated for generating more revenue, i.e. taxes, gas tax, whatnot. What do you think the state legislature needs to do, if anything, to address the issue with transportation funding at the local level?
At the local level, they need to get their hands off our government. They need if the township of River Falls needs to raise money and needs to raise its levy, that should be a decision for them to make. That we shouldn't have these artificial caps on them saying that, hey, we have these levy limits. If the local people in a district want to do something, they should be allowed to do that without this pressure from the state. They don't have additional funding. Another thing that I think could be done just statewide, and I'm just talking about our Assembly District 30, and I like to concentrate on that because really we need to represent our district, and we're not looking out for all of the interests of the state. Hopefully they're in alignment.
Right.
But when push comes to shove, I mean, we need to look at people in the 30th and say, hey, how are we taking care of our folks the best, our businesses, our folks that are there? So I think in general what we need to do is let the gas tax float back up to what it was. As you know, it used to be indexed to inflation, and then that, I think, maybe Governor Doyle took it off. But it's been off quite a while, and that, I believe, would increase the road tax about 7 cents a gallon or so. And I think that would just be a practical way to do it. I mean, that's the way the system was designed years ago, and I think that would help. At least. And that's a proposal, and I can't remember the numbers as I sit here in front of you today. But I think that's what needs to be started. And, the townships need this desperately. I drive out through our town roads. I live out in the country in the township of River Falls, and they just do not have the funds to do it, nor can they get them, so their hands are just tied. So we need to do something about that. And my first reaction was, okay, state, leave us alone in River Falls or St. Joseph and let us decide what we want to do for levies, number one. And then number two, do what needs to be done, and that is if the taxes need to be raised on gasoline or the roads, raise them.
Shannon Zimmerman, your thoughts. We're seeing locals do basically go through the only options they've got. Some have gone the way of the sales tax, 0.5%. Some have gone, La Crosse County is looking at Premier Resort tax, of course, the wheel tax. So is that a sign that the state needs to get more funding to the locals or take the caps off the levies at the local level or not?
There's a lot of different influences on our transportation funding, and I want to step back for a second because I think, this is probably obvious, but it's also just a fundamental, maybe, philosophical difference. We can't just raise taxes across the board for each one of these categories. At some point, we're going to tax people out. And the problem with the gas tax alone is that, well, I'm going to say problem, but also goodness, our cars are becoming dramatically more efficient. Alternative energy sources are becoming more prominent. More and more of our vehicles are hybrids or moving to, you know, to battery powered. And so the challenge that we're going to have long term is that, you know, addressing it solely with a gas tax is not necessarily the sustainable model. There was an audit conducted at the Department of Transportation, and you know, I had an opportunity to speak with a number of those in that agency. And first and foremost, they believe that there is a lot of opportunity for efficiency and gains, which I think some of which are being realized. So once again, before we just increase spending, I always want to begin with efficiency and so forth. So we start there. Next, in certain areas, and District 30 and in some of the western districts are actually struggling with this, we need to have more bidders. There's certain situations where we have one company bidding on some of these projects. That's also a challenge. There's no competition there. So that can also challenge some of the cost structure. So the funding model, or, you know, trim expense, enhance the funding model a little bit here. Look at how to do that better. Having talked to, you know, I met with the St. Croix County, Highway Commissioner, having met with a number of the townspeople, there is no doubt. We need to be able to redirect more of our state funding to the local levels. It is an expensive proposition. So I think my answer would be there's a pragmatic way we go through this. First, we look to optimize and expense wherever we can. Number two, we have to challenge the fundamental funding model for transportation as a whole. Gas tax is not sustainable. It will not sustain us long term. We have to think about how we can do this more effectively. And then, yes, we do need to think about ways that we are directing more of the collected tax dollars to the local level and evaluating what flexibilities we can and or shouldn't provide to the local level for those abilities to increase at will.
There was a study done some years ago. I'm not sure if this is the audit that you're talking about, but there were a number of proposals, solutions. I don't know if you call them solutions, but just ways to address this. Tolling was one. I'm sure people living along the border with Minnesota love that idea. But and saying that ironically, because it's very controversial, you know, there's a number of options that were placed before lawmakers, and they ultimately decided to borrow instead for major road repairs. Is that sustainable? Is that pragmatic?
Okay, so couple questions in there. First of all, when it comes to the subject of tolling, no. It's number one. There you invest literally hundreds of millions of dollars into these physical structures, so you're already in the hole. They're not efficient. They probably are more of a frustration. And living in a border district where thousands of our residents drive back and forth and vice versa, It to me is not the right way, nor is borrowing and mortgaging the future. For capital investments, large capital investments, makes more sense to me. I do believe, however, for operating expenses or general maintenance, this needs to be collected out of the normal budgets. We should not, in my opinion, be borrowing for this, and you know, I would advocate that we should step back from that.
Let's go back to the phones for what will likely be the last question of the day. Or at least the last caller of the day, and we go to Aaron in Hudson. Aaron, you're on the air. Thanks for hanging in there. What's on your mind?
Yeah, first of all, good morning, gentlemen, and thank you for doing this. One of the concerns I had is it's becoming very clear that we have a drug problem across the state, and specifically here in western Wisconsin, it seems that meth and opioids are a big issue. And just wanted to kind of get both gentlemen's opinions on how we can improve that situation and maybe ways to make it better.
Thanks for that, Aaron. Barry Hammerbeck, I'll start with you on this. We've seen the legislature pass a number of bills related to opioid addiction and ways to make it harder. What more do you think the state needs to do, if anything, to address opioids and methamphetamine addiction?
I think this is part of a bigger problem that we face in Wisconsin, and it's getting worse, not better. And it has to do with the level of incarceration of people that we have, convictions and everything else. I think it's all tied in together. But in terms of the addiction, we need better mental health facilities and capabilities. Right now, if you go to the hospital in River Falls and say, hey, I'm feeling depressed, you know, I've maybe been thinking of doing myself in. Well, the next thing you're going to get is a 51 commitment. River Falls, that means that the hospital will hold you for a little while. Then they'll delegate somebody from the police department, and they will drive you in your depressed state in handcuffs in the back of a squad car to Oshkosh. and then they'll be held at Oshkosh. And then if you have to deal with them and bring them back, which you do in a Chapter 51 hearing, they've got 48 hours, so they have to go back, get them. If in turn they get committed at that point, then you've got to drive them back down there. So it's raising Cain with the budgets that we have in terms of our police and enforcement, and this is true in the St. Clair County Sheriff's Department, the Pierce County Sheriff's Department, Hudson, River Falls, Roberts. All of these departments face the same problem. And so we need to spend some money on mental health and make sure that there's access to mental health in western Wisconsin, District 30. That in District 30 is a huge problem. And that is one of the ways. So we can't just lock up everybody on opioids. We've got to figure out what's causing this problem and try to deal with it in that way.
Just to follow up, does that mean funding for, say, a new mental health clinic or some kind of a place to hold people in the county or in the district?
Yes, or making contracts with some of the local providers. That's what River Falls is trying to do right now. But we need some state funding to do that. Mm-hmm. This is something that we shouldn't have to pay for all ourselves because it's mandated by the state law.
Shannon Zimmerman, your thoughts? What does anything more need to be done in terms of opioids and methamphetamine addiction?
Absolutely. I wish I've said this a few times publicly, so I guess it's not necessarily a secret. But, you know, within our own company in River Falls, we have had employees who have had children that tragically have died because of opioid overdoses. It is gut-wrenching and just bad for all involved. There are so many components here to this. I would agree. Mental health is a major influencer in this. We need to continue to raise awareness. There's a variety – local law enforcement from the police chiefs in Hudson, River Falls, the sheriff, I know all the way up to the attorney general. These folks are committed to this. I have participated in countless meetings where this subject has come up. We need to also recognize and acknowledge our schools. Our schools are trying so desperately to raise awareness. We passed a few bills last session to allow for the use of Narcan, which will go counter some of this. But this is a good statement, but it's also a tragic one. 1 week after that bill passed and was signed into law, the Hudson Law Police Department had its first save using Narcan. So it is reaching epidemic proportions, and we have to fix this. I think leveraging existing providers, the existing infrastructures that surround our great communities, we just need to find better ways to make sure that that funding model gets fixed so we do not have to drive them across the state. That is just unacceptable right now. But this is an epidemic, and it requires our highest level of attention.
With that, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today and talking with us. That's all the time we have for the 30th Assembly District candidate debate today. Many thanks to Shannon Zimmerman and Barry Hammerbeck. Best of luck to both of you in November. I'd also like to thank Team Westside for producing and promoting this hour. Molly Dove, Catherine Thomas, Cora Lang, Kate Spranger, and Dean Kallenbeck, you guys are the best. Join us next week for another round of candidate debates. I'm Rich Kramer. Have a safe and productive week. We'll chat again next Monday morning.